Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. Today you're joining us as we jump into a really interesting session of Waterdeep, Dungeon of the Mad Mage.
Yeah, this is from the GM Wintermute YouTube channel. We're looking at their dive into level two.
Right, season 7, episode 1. We've got the transcript, 4K, and all that. And our goal really is just to kind of break down what happened on level 2.
Hit the key events, the discoveries, the decisions the players made.
Yeah, give you a good sense of their progress because they ran into some pretty weird stuff down there.
Oh, definitely. Level two of Undermountain is something else. It's about understanding what they faced, right?
Yeah.
The whole feel of this massive dungeon.
Okay, so first things first, they finished up on level 1, dealt with some Waterdeep economics, apparently.
Yeah, even the
Yeah.
adventurers got to pay the bills.
Right. And then they head down level 2. They land in this long hallway, branches off east and west.
Classic dungeon setup.
Yeah.
A choice right off the bat.
And smartly, they send in the bat familiar first, you know, the little magical scout.
Always a good idea. Get eyes ahead without sticking your own neck out. It shows good tactics early on.
Definitely. Information is key down there.
So what did the bat see?
Okay, so East Branch, it found a room with old dwarven carvings, but they were all like defaced with goblin drawings, charcoal stuff.
Ah, okay. So layers of history. Goblins moved in after the dwarves. Typical.
Yeah, it tells the story right there. And more immediately, there were these banging noises coming from the north of that room.
Banging. Always a hook. Something's happening. Could be anything.
Right. Meanwhile, the West Branch opened into a bigger room, had a rusty old hand pump, some stone basins.
A bit more mundane. Maybe infrastructure left over, water source perhaps.
Could be. And more importantly, exits north and south from that room, so even more
Well, it
options.
was more hallways, more doors. That's Undermountain.
So the banging noises from the east seemed more interesting, I guess. They followed those, heading north.
Makes sense. Follow the noise, find the action.
And what they found was, well, not what you'd expect. A huge hall, lit up, pillars everywhere, looked like a giant flea market.
A flea
A
market.
goblin flea market, hundreds of them. Selling armor, shields, gear, food. Looked pretty dodgy, probably stolen or scavenged.
Wow. Okay. So not just monsters, but a whole goblin economy, society down here.
Seems like it. Hundreds of them. Raises a ton of questions, like how does this even work?
Right. Where do they get the light? Where does all this stuff come from? Fascinating.
Luckily, one of the adventurers, Nofanus, he speaks goblin.
Well, that's huge. Suddenly, it's not just a room full of enemies.
Exactly. Changes everything. He starts talking to them, tries to figure out what's going on, found out they might take kurts for currency.
Kurtz? Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Maybe some local goblin script or something they use down there.
Yeah.
Language skills paying off immediately.
Totally. So they wander deeper into this market and they see this granite throne, big chair covered in animal skins and monster skulls.
Okay, so there's some hierarchy here. Someone sits on the skull throne.
Yeah, a goblin vendor was there, but said he didn't have any magic items right then. Bit of a letdown.
Oh, always looking for the magic items.
But then they hear more pounding, persistent noise coming from the northeast this time.
It's still going. Okay, gotta check that out.
So they follow the sound again, find a hallway, leads to a door, and behind it, it's pretty grim. There's a goblin, named Glom, hanging from chains, gibbets.
Oof. Rough. What did she do?
Apparently stole food. Food meant for someone called Yetch, who was described as a spouse.
A spouse,
Yes.
yesh. Okay, so yetch is important somehow,
Yeah.
and they don't mess around with punishments.
Not at all. Glom's alive, though, and talking, well, yelling in goblin.
Right. So no Fainus can understand her. Or try to.
Well, here's a weird bit. Someone tries to use a staff of charming to cast comprehend languages on her. You know, standard spell.
Yeah, should just let them understand her. Easy.
Nope. The staff starts wailing, calls Glom a thief and a criminal, and then just stops working, fizzles out.
What? The staff itself refused. That's bizarre. Magical interference.
Something about Glom or just Undermountain being weird.
Who knows? Super strange.
Yeah.
But eventually, Nofanus does manage to communicate with her the old-fashioned way.
Okay, good. What's her story? Besides the stealing.
She's starving, obviously, and she says she has useful info, especially about finding magic. Classic prisoner bargain.
Help me and I'll help you find treasure. Seen that one before.
Yeah, she offers info on this Yetch person if they get her some food.
Makes sense. Leverage what you've got. Knowledge is power, especially down here.
While this is happening, they notice other goblins nearby building a stage along the north wall.
A stage, like for a performance or an announcement.
Unclear, but these goblins confirm Yetch is the leader, Say he hangs out in a room off the southeast side of the market, guarded.
Okay, so Yetch is definitely the boss. Has guards, gets special food, and apparently a stage is being built. Maybe for that auction Glom mentioned.
Maybe. But then Glom drops the real bombshell about Yetch.
Oh, what now? Get this. Yetch used to be a goblin, but he found Golden Circlet, put it on, and it turned him into an attractive, average-size human male.
Hey, wait, what? A goblin found a magic hat that turned him human?
Apparently. A Golden Circlet. But not all the other goblins are thrilled about taking orders from a human-looking dude who used to be one of them.
I can imagine. That's got to cause some tension.
Totally. So Yetch uses bugbears, you know, bigger, tougher goblinoids, to keep the peace. Or enforce his rule, anyway.
Bugbear enforcers for the human formerly known as Goblin Leader? This place is nuts. I love it.
Right. So obviously, they have to go meet this guy. They head to the southeast room Yetch is supposed to be in.
Gotta see this for themselves.
And there he is, a human dude wearing a gold circlet, just chilling on some cushions. Looks comfy.
Wow. Okay. So Glom wasn't kidding.
Nope. So they start negotiating. They want to free Glom. But then they find out Yetch also has another prisoner, a dwarf.
Oh, who's the dwarf?
Name's Copper Stormforge. Apparently killed some of Yetch's goblins. Yetch was planning to sell both him and Glom.
Sell them? As slaves?
Yeah, mentioned an upcoming auction. Seems like standard practice for him.
Charming guy. So, the adventurers try to buy them both.
Yep. Yetch initially wants, like, 50 gold just for Glom. It's steep.
Standard opening bid for a desperate prisoner, I guess.
But they haggle, and somehow they talk him down to 10 gold pieces for both Glom and Copper.
10 gold. For two people. He must not value them that much, or the adventurers are good negotiators.
Maybe a bit of both. Anyway, deal done. 10 gold changes hands.
Okay, so they've got Glom and this dwarf, Copper. How's Copper taking his newfound freedom?
Not well, initially. He's furious, full of dwarven rage, you know. Wants to smash things.
Can't blame him. Captured, about to be sold.
Yeah.
I'd be mad, too.
But the party manages to calm him down, de-escalate things before he starts a riot in the goblin market.
Good move. Smart. Now what?
Well, as they're leaving Yetch's room, things get even weirder. Two goblins sidle up to them, call themselves Daryl 1 and Daryl 2.
Daryl 1 and Daryl 2. Seriously.
Yep. Practical goblin naming strikes again. And they have a secret proposal.
Let me guess. They don't like Yetch either.
Bingo! They hate him! Call the circlet a curse. Say he's cruel. They don't like his human form. They want the adventurer's help to end the curse. Get rid of the circlet.
A goblin rebellion led by the Daryls.
Seems like it. They even offer support, maybe gear, if the party helps them out.
Okay, so now they're potentially involved in goblin politics. This level just keeps getting more complicated.
Right. So they need a quiet place to talk. They find a spot, pull Glom and Copper aside for a private chat.
Smart. Need to figure out what's going on, what the plan is.
And Copper, the dwarf. He reveals something, says he managed to hide something on him while he was captured, something worth way more than the 10 gold they paid.
Oh. Treasure. A weapon?
Better. An authentic map of level 3 of the dungeon.
Whoa. Okay, that is valuable. A map at the next level. Huge advantage.
Absolutely. He gives it to them as repayment, says he's had enough of Undermountain, and he's leaving. Fair enough, really?
Can't say I blame him, but wow, what a parting gift. That map could save their lives.
For sure. And Glom, wanting to help too, offers to guide them, not out, but to Yetch's treasure room.
Ah, the treasure room. Always a good goal. Any catches?
She also mentions there's a Xanathar outpost somewhere on this level, warns them about bugbears being around.
Xanathar Guild. Okay, so there's another faction down here besides the goblins. Good to know. More potential trouble?
Definitely. So following Glom's directions towards, presumably, the treasure, they head down this long corridor, and it's decorated with dwarven frescoes.
More dwarven stuff. What did they show?
Scenes of dwarven life. And they were animated, like little moving pictures on the wall.
Animated frescoes? Cool. Yeah. Were they dangerous?
Apparently not. Just moving pictures. Kind of neat, actually. A bit of wonder amidst the danger.
A nice touch. A glimpse of the past, maybe?
Maybe. Anyway, corridor ends at a four-way intersection. They go north, find a room with a limestone altar.
Altar sounds ominous. Anything on it?
Yeah, look like molten gold sitting on top. But looks can be deceiving down here.
Oh, yeah. What was it really?
Someone made a nature check. Turns out it's an ochre jelly. Just sitting there looking like gold.
Ugh, ochre jelly. Oh. Nasty ooze. Good thing they checked. That could have been a painful surprise.
Seriously. The room also had carvings of a demon lord, Jubal X.
Jubal X, yeah. Demon lord of oozes and slimes. Makes sense with the jelly. Not a friendly place.
Definitely not. There was an inscription on the altar, too, in Abyssal. Something like, a gift of flesh willingly given feeds our internal hunger.
Creepy. And detect magic showed transmutation magic on the gold, the jelly. So definitely a trap or something ritualistic.
Seems like it. They wisely backed out of there, I think. Took another door from the intersection.
Smart move. What was behind door number three?
This room was surprisingly clean, which was weird. But the main feature was even weirder. A dwarven skull encased in glass, floating inside a giant gelatinous cube.
A skull. In glass.
Yes.
In a cube. And wasn't there a skull back on level one they found?
The same skull. They recognized it. Somehow it ended up here, on level two, inside a giant jelly cube.
Okay, the connections between levels are getting stranger and stranger. What's the deal with this skull?
Well, first, the cube attacked them. Big fight.
Naturally. It's a giant gelatinous cube. They tend to do that.
They managed to take it down. The skull in the glass was fine, though. And they figured out its magic.
Yeah. What did it do? Besides floating cubes?
It enlarges gelatinous cubes. That's its property.
It enlarges gelatinous cubes. Okay, yep. That's oddly specific. Why would anyone make that? Hal Aster, probably?
Has to be, right. Super weird magic. Okay, one more door. They open it.
What fresh horror awaits?
Water. A lot of salt water.
Yeah.
Like 2,400 cubic feet of it just bursts out into the hallway. Floods the area maybe half an inch deep.
A flash flood. Underground. Salt
water. Yellowish washes out of body, too. Human wizard, green and purple robes. Looked pretty decayed.
Oof. What happened there?
They figured it was one of Hallister's apprentices. Spell gone wrong, probably involving conjuring a whole lot of seawater into a small room.
Sounds like something would happen in Undermountain. Did the wizard have anything?
Just a glass wand, like an arcane focus. Worth a little bit. Everything else in the room was totally ruined by the salt water.
A soggy end for a foolish apprentice. What a way to go.
Yeah. And after getting unexpectedly soaked, the adventurers decided that was probably enough for one session.
Wow. I don't blame them. Goblin markets, human goblin leaders, secret maps, animated walls, fake gold jellies, skull in a cube, flash floods. That's a lot.
It really is. Level two is throwing everything at them.
So recapping, they navigated this bizarre goblin society.
Right.
Rescued two captives, got a map to level three. Maybe started a goblin civil war.
Right, and encountered some really strange magic, like the skull, the circlet, and some deadly environmental hazards.
Loads of unanswered questions, too. What's the deal with Yex and that circlet, really? Will they help the Daryls?
What's actually on that level 3 map? What about the Xanathar outpost Glom mentioned?
And why, oh why, does that skull enlarge gelatinous cubes? What was its purpose?
So many threads. It really shows how intricate and, frankly, weird the Dungeon of the Mad Mages.
Absolutely. It's not just about fighting monsters. It's about navigating these strange situations and uncovering bizarre secrets.
Definitely check out the original GM Wintermute video if you want the full blow-by-blow and the players actually reacting to all this craziness. It's worth it.
For sure. Undermountain keeps delivering the unexpected.
Well, that's our deep dive for today. Join us next time as we explore another fascinating slice of story and adventure.